podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hi, this is Joe from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. You are listening to the captaincy video. If you'd like to check out the video, it is posted every Tuesday over on YouTube. Just search for Fantasy Football Scout. Thanks for listening. Hello and welcome to another captaincy video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. It is the 2022-23 season. It's game week 3 and joining me to discuss the best options for the armband is Tom Freeman, Fantasy Football Scout's deputy editor. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, well, thanks, Joe, and looking forward to this one. There are quite a few good options to consider for captaincy this week, so it's going to be an interesting one, I think.
Yeah, so fans of our Fancy Pants new graphics, there's a slight disappointment. We've got we have a player comparison sort of template we can use when we've got like two good assets to consider, or maybe three. There's too many this week, too many. Haven't got a template for there's so many of them, so I couldn't leave any of them out. So I've done a Fancy Pants table instead. So you get to miss out on a couple of images there, but if you get a nice table, and it means that we don't leave out anyone as well. Just before we crack on, I know you've got a few words to say about the members area. Just a reminder to everyone, please do subscribe if you're not subscribing already. That means you won't miss anything from our video and podcasts. And do also press the like button. It really helps us quite a lot. So anyway, yes, Tom, I understand you've got a few words, quick words to say about the members area before we move on to the rest of the show.
Yeah, so it's the last chance to get our pre-season price for membership over on Scout. It actually goes up on Friday. So if you sign up before then, you can get it for £2.49 a month, billed annually. And that, of course, will give you access to all the OptiMatch data, which arrives in our members area straight after kick full time in the matches. You can read all the articles and you'll get the members videos with Mark Southerns and loads of cool things like that. So go and have a look at that. Yeah, it's the last chance to get it. It goes up on Friday, so you've still got a few days before then.
Okay, thanks for all of those that have joined us in the live chat as well. Vindy, FPL Ticker, Keith Hill, Eamon, Nuclear Atoms, Matt Henley, FPL Spartans, White Widow, Rodrev, and many more. Thanks so much for joining us. Do remember to press the like button and to subscribe if you're there in the live chat, and also do that when you're watching back. Where did I see this comment? Yes, I think it just about summed everything up. Really, it was a comment there from Eamon, I think it was. He was saying that he's going to captain Jesus in the evening game, and he's going to have a sneaky beer for that as well. I thought that was quite good. But a lot of people are saying there's a lot of choice in there, and I think that's something we've spoken about already. Let's have a look at these fixtures. Before we look at the players themselves and their stats, let's have a look at these fixtures. So I've sorted this by difficulty in the members area. Got that picture of Jesus doing that annoying phone thing he does. So he's calling through that he's got a good fixture and he's in form. So he's definitely a contender. But what I've done as well is I think I've altered it a bit with the fixture difficulty rating. I've raised Newcastle's, even though they've got a toughest fixture because they're playing Manchester City. But I've raised them in that I think there is a possibility now that they could indeed score. So for Man City, it's now not an absolutely easy peasy fixture for them because Newcastle have got something about them, I think. And I've also lowered Manchester United's rating as well, because Liverpool, it was classed as a slightly difficult fixture for Liverpool. And considering they just got absolutely hammered 4-0 by Brentford. And that's not just a one-off. That's the culmination of probably a season or two's terrible defending. So I think that's quite an easy fixture for Liverpool. So I've risen them up. So in terms of fixture difficulty, Everton at the top because they're playing Nottingham Forest. And then Arsenal away to Bournemouth. Brentford against Fulham. That could be some goals there. Leicester home to Southampton. Chelsea got Leeds. Liverpool, Manchester United. And then going down the list, we've got Manchester City against Newcastle. Tottenham against Wolves, I think, is another eye-catching one. But for you, when you're looking at those fixtures there, who would you say has the easiest fixture among those that you might be considering for the armband? And I'm assuming you're not going to be captaining Patterson or Rondon from Everton here.
We're not at that stage of the season yet. Yeah, Joe, we've actually started quite well, so we're okay with that. But yeah. I think there's four fixtures there that jump out, and I think they're split. I think the two best fixtures are Bournemouth against Arsenal, with Jesus in mind for the captaincy, and Man United against Liverpool with Salah.
Yeah.
Then I think there's also Tottenham against Wolves and Newcastle against Man City, which are also decent fixtures, but maybe not quite as good in terms of the worst defences as the other two, which we'll come to in the other table shortly, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it just highlights the amount of the breadth of choice as well. I've got a table here which would indicate, so we've always traditionally on these shows sort of who are the worst offences, and it's only two games so far, but I think we're starting to get a picture here. Nottingham Forest, the worst defence according to this in terms of expected goals conceded, expected to concede four, in fact conceded two, so they're looking a bit dodgy at the moment, but lots of new recruits coming in there. Everton as well, nearly expected goals conceded for Leicester. Now I've got Ward, but I didn't double him up with Iverson, as I know many people have. I got Sanchez in instead, and I think I might play Sanchez this week. Ward. I mean, what do you think? Ward doesn't look that good, does he?
Well, yeah, I think they struggled at Arsenal, didn't they? I don't think they were too bad against Brentford. I know they drew 2-2 on the opening weekend. For about 60 minutes of that game, they were good. But this has been a problem for Leicester for a while, keeping clean sheets. It runs back to last season.
Yeah.
They struggled defending set pieces, so there's always that opportunity, the chance that they're going to concede. So, I mean, if you own Ward and Iverson, you might be able to get through till the first wild card. But I think you're in a good place, Joe, there with Sanchez as an alternative, because Brighton obviously look very good.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, as this table highlights here, so amongst the best defences, Manchester City, expected goals conceded of 0.6 of a goal. So it's not much. Brentford doing well, Brighton as well, and Arsenal. Then Chelsea. I think they're in a sort of a little league of their own in terms of the best defences. But amongst the worst, again, we've got Southampton, expected goals conceded of 3.5. And then Manchester United, which is good for our captaincy decision of Salah if we were to do that as well. Bournemouth as well, expected goal conceded 2.41. Obviously, they've conceded four. They've just played Manchester City. When a team plays Manchester City, they tend to shoot up this table. So, as I said, it's just two games so far, but that does indicate that Bournemouth, that Jesus, if we were to captain him, could get some joy there. I guess Wolves, expected goals conceded of 2.29, so it's sort of on a par with Bournemouth there. So, I mean, before we look at some of the names, I mean, Kane and Son, do you think they're better, perhaps, than any of the other options?
I don't think they're better. I think they're okay choices. I mean, Wolves have struggled to create, but Kilman and Collins, their kind of new look centre back partnership, have actually looked quite comfortable.
Oh, okay.
But then you've got to look at who they've played as well, and they've played Fulham, and they've also played on the opening weekend. It was Leeds, wasn't it? So, you know, the fact that Bournemouth, like you said earlier, the fact they played City, it does skew that. But I do think that Wolves are an okay defence. They've gone to a back four. I would favour, you know, targeting that United defence, who obviously conceded four against Brentford. I mean, They were bullied defensively. They're vulnerable to a high press. And Liverpool, this isn't just this season. I think you mentioned earlier, Joe, this goes back as well. Liverpool's last three trips to Old Trafford in all competitions, they've scored 11 goals across those three games. So I'm expecting them to cause loads of problems for United in that one.
Yeah, definitely. There has been some talk of a protest by Manchester United fans. I don't know if that's a specific protest about what's happening on the pitch, what's happening in the boardroom, perhaps a bit of both. But do you think there's any danger, or do you think there's a possibility that that game against Liverpool could end up being called off?
I don't think so, because I think that, I just think that the police and the people around United will be prepared for this, because it's been spoken about. I think that one last season, it kind of caught them, or was it, or whenever it was, it caught them off guard a little bit. And I think that now I completely understand why they're protesting, but I'd be surprised if something like that, given the magnitude of the fixture and the fact that that everybody's aware of it, I'd be very surprised if that affects them.
So, okay, I mean, I think maybe
don't captain two players in that game.
I was going to say, I think this might be the week where, if you're thinking, I'll put the vice captain on Alexander Arnold, for example, or Diaz, it might be a good idea to look for another fixture for the vice captain. That is just if that 0.1% chance of that happening, but at least we do have a slight warning of that.
Sports Social, now on the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture and the business of football. 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
So let's have a look at some more stats. Most attacking players. So as I said, I couldn't do a comparison between two or three because I've got six. And I don't have the graphical know-how to get a six-man player comparison. I mean, it would just be... And also, it would look rubbish because there's just too many of them. So we're doing stat form. Expected goal involvement. Haaland, 2.22. Jesus, 2.2. Kevin De Bruyne, 1.2. Then Salah, 1.2. His expected goal involvement over two matches. So these are really high. These are the big guns. And then Son and Kane are a little less. Son often doesn't show up a lot on these expected goal involvement because he's so accurate, really. He doesn't need so many chances. So I'm not too worried about that. But as we can see with the points so far, it's Haaland, Jesus, De Bruyne. They've really been, showing, their premium quality there. These are all good options, aren't they? They've all got good fixtures, some marginally better, and some have got marginally better expected goal involvement. But they're all the big guns look good this week. It's a really tough choice for captaincy.
They do, and I think you can make an argument for a compelling argument for each of them as well. I mean, Haaland at the top of that list, he was a bit less involved against Bournemouth, wasn't he? Didn't touch the ball much at the weekend at all. But they set up with a back five the week before that. Pep's tactics were a little bit different, and he had more space, and he was the focal point. But Newcastle, under Eddie Howe, have been very good at St James's Park. They've turned it into a bit of a fortress there. They haven't conceded a goal yet this season. They were indebted to Nick Pope at the weekend, keeping a clean sheet against your team, Joe Brighton. But I think they're probably the best defence of the ones we're discussing here. Yeah. So that's why I'm kind of veering away from them a bit. You've got Jesus, 19 points at the weekend, topped all of the goal threat charts at the weekend against Leicester. Arsenal look really good going forward in both of their games, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we've all tripled up or doubled up on them.
I think it's a viable shout this week. And then, of course, Salah. And no Darwin Nunes after last night's red card. So that I think that could potentially be good for Salah, because it probably means Firmino missed out last night, but it was a precaution. Yeah. Klopp said he hopes to get him back, and I do like Salah. I think Salah's role will change a little bit with Firmino in the team.
He comes in off the wing more. Yeah. Firmino goes back a bit.
Yeah, and they're going to look to him for goals, aren't they? So they're going to need his goals. He had a few opportunities last night. He almost scored a late winner, but I do like Salah this week. And then finally Son and Kane. I mean, they weren't great against Chelsea, but it's a tough fixture. Son was kind of shifted wide when they went to a back four, but they've won 4 points from losing positions, Spurs, this season. And I think that's encouraging. And I would expect them to beat Wolves on Saturday, but maybe not by the same margin that I'm expecting Liverpool and Arsenal to win by.
As Alex Bellotti's just pointed out in the chat as well, there's even more options. Vardy. I mean, he hasn't mentioned Maddison here, but Maddison as well. They play Southampton. They've got. Yeah. I mean, I'm not suggesting it's going to be 9-0 again, as it has been in the past. But I would not raise my eyebrows if I saw Vardy and Maddison captaincy. But yeah, there's so much choice, so much choice. Oh, okay, let's have a look at our, you know, time's marching on. Let's have a look at our top three picks. So out of all of these choices, who have we gone for? So I'll go quickly first, get me out of the way. All the reasons you've just said about Salah, possibly Firmino there, Nunes definitely out, Manchester United's defence looking awful. I would say one of those Brentford goals was Brentford. The rest were absolutely awful defending and shouldn't have happened. Jesus, I'm so impressed with him, been impressed with him in pre-season. And he is clearly the main man. It's a question of how many points he'll get. He's got everything. He's got the bonus. He's got the assist. I mean, he's great for the captaincy. And I've gone for Harry Kane as well. I maintained on the Scoutcast, if I had got Harry Kane in game week one, I'd have kept Harry Kane for game week two and three because of this particular captaincy run. I think he's a real contender there. Mm. As he showed, he can nick a goal. But that's my choices there. You've got... similar, but slightly different. So who are your picks?
So one, same as you, Joe, I've got Salah, number one, the best fixture, I think. Firmino coming in is potentially very good for Salah. And I'm expecting a Liverpool reaction. They need 3 points, don't they? Seems crazy to be saying that now, but after drawing the first couple, I think they'll be up for that one. Number two, Kane, it's quite a close call. I think Spurs will improve. I hope Perisic plays at the weekend because I think he'll be good for Kane. But I do prefer that United fixture. I think Wolves are a better defence at the moment, and that's why Salah just edges it for me. Number three, I've gone for Haaland. It won't be straightforward against Newcastle, but this is City, and would anybody be surprised if they go to St James' Park and score 2, 3, even 4 goals? No, I don't think we would, because they're that much better than everybody else. Yeah. And that's why he's just sneaked in ahead of Jesus, because it's really that confidence in Man City as an attack. And I think he'll be more involved this week and maybe have a little bit more space in that fixture than he did against the one against Bournemouth.
Yeah, I mean, the week just gone by, a lot of the top captaincy picks either blanked or didn't do so well. Haaland's didn't do so well. He was our top pick last week, but it just came away with an assist. If Phil Foden had passed to him, it would have been a goal and bonus as well.
Well, exactly. Fine margins.
But nevertheless, you know, he was a great asset. But the captaincy wasn't the big decider. This week, if any of those six that we've spoken about, you could go for any of them, and if you've got them, and if you don't own some of them, this could be huge rank swings. And it's, you know, early on as well. You know, there's not many points between the top 10k, the top 100k, the top million, top 5 million, and so on. So, you know, you can really go up the rankings there. Tom, good luck with your decision to captain the guy I'm going to captain, Mohamed Salah. So good luck to me as well. And good luck to all of those who are going for him as well. But to be honest, you know, good luck anyway. You've got a good captaincy choice on paper. You know, think of the decision, not the outcome, whatever happens. Tom, thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for everyone to drop in. Do remember to subscribe. Do remember to press the like button as well. Tom, thanks a lot. See you again next week.
Thanks, Joe.